Hello, everyone. Today is November the 13th, 2019, and you are at the Whole Life Healing Program with Dr. Alex Lloyd. My name is Johanna Chan. I'll be assisting Alex today and welcoming him back from being in Europe. But before we hear from Alex, I want to share this disclaimer. This presentation is for education and informational purposes only, and since we're going to be talking about issues of health and well-being, we wanted to make sure that you understand this information is not intended to heal or cure anything. Everything in the presentation are the opinions of Dr. Alex Lloyd or myself, Johanna Chan. You should always check with a licensed healthcare provider about any specific health concerns you may have. And we love to share this quote as well with you each week. It says, "We are beginning now to understand things that we know in our hearts are true but could never measure. As we get a better understanding how little we know about the body, we begin to realize the next big frontier in medicine is energy medicine. It's not the mechanistic parts of the joints moving. It's not the chemistry of our body. It's understanding for the first time how energy influences how we feel." And that was a quote by Dr. Oz back in November 2007. And the reason we bring it up is that the purpose of these calls for you is to provide a current and relevant information on the subject of energy medicine from a variety of perspectives, including a medical, a scientific, and mostly spiritual perspective. So, having shared that, I am happy to welcome Alex back. And Alex, our topic for today is it's all about the struggle. Is that right?
That is right. Thank you so much, Johanna, and thank you, everyone, for being here today. I want to update you on something that I said a few weeks ago, I think, but just wanted to update again. For several weeks, we took a break from the teaching, which we had never done in 14 years of doing this program, and did questions and answers. And some people really loved that. Some people didn't love it. They said they look forward to the teaching and get things out of that at times for themselves. So what we're trying to do now is I'm still going to do a teaching, but I'm going to try to do it a good bit shorter. All right. And that's probably good for me anyway. I talk too much as it is. And then if we have time, we will also take one or two questions, possibly three if we can. But, so in the future, if you come to this program, know that, there will be an opportunity to ask a question or two, and the teaching will be shorter, which should be good news for everybody. I remember being a kid in church, and whenever the sermon was shorter or there was some special singing night or something where there wasn't a sermon at all, all the kids were really excited about that. So anyway, all right, today, man, if you can master this, so much of your life will go so much better. And I mean, usually on a daily basis, this one thing, if you can change this one thing, it typically makes a big everyday change every day of your life. And, you know, you can't say that about a whole lot of things, that would make a big difference every single day. This one will, okay? When Hope and I met and got married, I had a temper, okay? I went to college on an athletic scholarship. You know, if a call on the court didn't go my way or if I messed up a big point or something like that, it wasn't unusual to hear me yell and scream. Now, I never cursed, but I'd yell and scream, I'd throw my racket across the court, you know, and things like that, and did other things in similar sports, too, growing up, and in life, had a pretty short fuse anger, and anger is evidence of a wrong goal. Now, I didn't know that then, but I know it now, and anything in the anger family is evidence of a wrong goal. All right. when that changed for me, after Hope kicked me out of the house and I made kind of a new life commitment, had a spiritual experience, my anger went away. And literally, and since that day, which was about 30 years ago now, I don't know that I've gotten angry one time since that happened. Now, I never would have imagined that was even possible. But the difference that's made in my life and for me in Hope and raising my kids and even in the work I do, I can't even calculate that. It's just been absolutely wonderful, and I would never go back. So we're going to talk a little bit about that for just a few minutes today. And what we're really talking about is change. Okay? The title, it's all about the struggle. And the reason for the title is because change always requires a struggle. Okay? Let me read you a few quotes here. Sometimes a really good quote or a lyric to a song or something like that can go way farther than, you know, me talking for 10 or 15 minutes. And I'm going to share a few quotes here. Several of them are anonymous. And then give you a couple of points, and we'll try to make this practical and tie up the loose ends. Here we go. Reading a few quotes. As humans, we like to avoid pain and suffering as much as possible. Unfortunately, life has other plans. There's no such thing as a pain-free existence. We're not robots. Perhaps, though, we cannot know happiness without experiencing pain. Another one. Your pain is the breaking of the shell that encloses your understanding. I love that one. There's an ancient manuscript called the Parable of the Sower that Jesus told, that's one of my favorites, and he talks about understanding, and that if you can understand something, it will lead to belief and positive fruit in your life. If that truth is snatched away before you understand it, then it doesn't bear any good fruit. Your pain is the breaking of the shell that encloses your understanding. Here's another one. We must all suffer from one of two pains, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. The difference is discipline weighs ounces while regret weighs tons. Another one. Without pain, there would be no suffering. Without suffering, we'd never learn from our mistakes. To make it right, pain and suffering is the key to all windows. Without it, there is no way for our best life. Pain is temporary. This is the last one I'll read. Pain is temporary. It may last a minute or an hour or a day or a year, but eventually it will subside and something else will take its place. If I quit, however, it lasts forever. Some really, really good, insightful quotes. Friend of mine in the FBI for 30 years, retired. I asked him, what did you learn? Some of you have heard this before. He said, number one, people don't change. Number two, everybody lies. That's a common theme with law enforcement and military, and in some circles in psychology too, is people don't change. One of the best examples we have of change is from caterpillar to butterfly. In fact, in some languages, I don't remember right now which language it was. It may be Hebrew. But in some languages, the word change, the word picture for it is caterpillar to butterfly. I did a little bit of research on that. This is from Scientific American. When a caterpillar goes into its cocoon, and I'm reading this from the Scientific American article, First, the caterpillar digests itself. Digests itself, its whole body, releasing enzymes to dissolve all of its tissues. In some species, all of these things that the caterpillar turns into remain dormant throughout the caterpillar's entire life. In others, they start kind of coming out before the caterpillar goes into the cocoon and then comes out. The cocoon stage typically takes between 5 and 21 days, creates a great amount of heat, and is obviously very, very uncomfortable. But I'd ask you this week, as you pray and meditate on your life and those you love and care about, your success in life, what you do, your work, ask yourself that, okay? Am I still a caterpillar as far as my best life is concerned? Have I been through the pain and embraced it and come out on the other side and learned the lessons from it? Or am I in the cocoon right now? And it's so fascinating to me that just about everyone I've ever worked with, that in my estimation, they were in the cocoon of their life right then, changing from one type of life to a much better one. All of them wanted it to stop. In fact, usually that's why they came to see me. And I might tell them, well, you know what? With everything you've told me and everything I've tested and all that, I think what you're going through right now is really a wonderful transformational period. And you need to embrace this instead of trying to just get it to go away because of the pain. And if they could do that, usually the pain would be over very quickly and they would then, in fact, go to that next best life for them. But it's all about the struggle. One of my favorite tennis players of all time, and I played tennis all my life, went to college to play tennis, is Rafael Nadal. He's number two all time to Roger Federer in Grand Slams won. I just love the way he fights and with his attitude. And one of the things that he is famous for, that every commentator I've ever heard has said they've never heard that from an athlete before, when people ask him the key to his success, one of the things he has said pretty consistently is he likes to suffer. And I remember the first time I saw him ask that question and give that answer. And, you know, this funny look came over the interviewer's face. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You got to explain that one. What are you talking about? You like to suffer. And he was saying, well, I know that my best match today and my best match a year from now are only going to be possible to the degree that I suffer. And that suffering and pain takes me to the next level in my game, lets me hit my serve a little bit harder or a little bit more consistently, lets me have calm and coolness mixed with passion in those most important points rather than just being afraid and missing a ball I wouldn't normally miss. But saying I love to suffer, I like to suffer, I look forward to suffering. Why? For suffering's sake? No, that would be meaningless. For the cocoon transformational effect. We think things are all about the result. And most people, they spend their day, their weeks, their decades, their life trying to control end results, thinking that in those end results will come their happiness, contentment, fulfillment. And ladies and gentlemen, it just doesn't work that way. The only way to long-term happiness, contentment, love, etc., is the present moment in love. And that manifests as happiness, contentment later rather than regret, guilt. I thought this external thing was going to make me happy or feel secure, but it hasn't. So now I'm on to the next thing, and that becomes a vicious cycle. The Apostle Paul in Romans 7, one of my favorite passages from any ancient manuscript, Paul is talking about what I do is not what I want to do, but what I do is what I don't want to do, and I do it over and over and over and over. Oh, what a wretched worm I am. And this was at the end of Paul's life, not the first, okay, when he was wiser and more experienced, etc. But then, after that, in that same passage, Paul says an amazing thing. He said, "Praise be to God who always, always leads us in victory." So he describes a situation that to him is like constant pain. He said, I've got a thorn in my side, metaphorically, a thorn in my flesh. And he prayed over and over to God to take it away. God said, no, you will learn what I need you to learn from the pain of this thorn. And Paul describes it, not telling us what it is, but he describes the pain. But then the statement that God always leads us in victory. But I would posit to you today that that only happens if we trust God, if we trust love, give up the end result, and live in the present moment as best we can in love and truth. The word, I was brought up on the word sin, which was a very scary thing that was going to make me burn in hell, okay? That's what I believe, and the teaching and training that I have. But sin, the word sin does not mean that. The word sin means to miss the mark, okay? Well, when you're learning anything, whether it's how to play tennis or how to be a good husband or how to be an engineer, when you're doing anything, you practice, okay? Even if you're doing it professionally, you're still practicing. That's why a medical doctor's business is called a practice. That's why a psychologist's business is called a practice, because you're constantly getting better at it. You're constantly perfecting and honing. If you just get to one point where you know some basic stuff and stay there and never progress past that, you're going to be pretty rotten at whatever you're doing, unless you're just naturally gifted at it. But the missing the mark is part of becoming best at it, okay? When I first started playing tennis, I mean, I was awful. I was terrible, and I never was real good. I was an overachiever. I was kind of a bulldog. I would dive all over the court, get my knees bloody, whatever, before I'd lose a point. That was about the only thing that made me pretty good for the group that I was in. But everybody knew. It's practice, 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 practice. Well, the word practice inherently means some of the time you're going to miss the mark. That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing if you embrace it as the cocoon that is taking me to the next phase in my life. You probably heard this from me as well, but one of my favorite preachers, when Hope and I just got married, we would watch her while we exercised every morning, used to say that it's like we're going around a mountain on a path to get to the top. And when we hit pain and a need for change, we either go through that pain, accept it, embrace it, learn from it, and that takes us to the next higher path, But if we don't, if we run from the pain and just want the pain to end or do stuff to get it to end, we have to go right around that same path again until we get another opportunity to go through it and go to the highest level. Okay? What I'm recommending as you pray and meditate about this in your life is focus on the struggle as a good time, a time to learn, a time to grow, a time to maybe go into your cocoon or maybe another cocoon. Maybe you've been through a cocoon in one area of your life, but not another. Well, that pain and struggle is always an opportunity, maybe we could say a big cocoon or a little cocoon, to take you higher if you choose that. But if you choose just to numb the pain, end the pain, run from the pain, fight the pain, then typically you continue to have pain long term. Focus on the more important aspect. The important aspect is not ever just the pain going away. The important aspect is what do I have to learn here to take me to the next highest level of my life. In other words, embrace the struggle rather than fight it, flee it, or just freeze up like a turtle in a shell. Okay? Ironically, when pain hits, very few people embrace it. The great majority of people I've ever worked with, talked to, whatever, they design their life around having as little pain as possible, even though more pain typically means a better life long term. Now, I'm not saying go look for pain. I do not advise that. You don't have to look for it. It finds you, all right? You don't have to worry about that. And there is no path with no pain. None, neither one. That doesn't exist. So you're going to have pain either way. You can make it longer, harder, meaningless, and you get stuck, or you can let it propel you to the next better phase of your life. Your choice. Use memory engineering, use trilogy to get rid of the junk so that you can make that decision. Some people have so many lies in their mind that they almost can't make that decision. They are so in fear and anxiety and anger and all that sort of thing. If that's true, clean that stuff up until you can make the decision, and you will get there. All right, that's it for me, Johanna. If we have a question or two, I'd be happy to take a shot at that.
Okay. Thanks, Alex. Okay, so if you have a question you'd like to ask Alex, you can simply press star 2 on your phone. That'll raise your hand, and I'll be able to unmute you so you can ask Alex that question. And star 2 on your phone. Anybody that's on the phone, star 2. If you're online, you could possibly type in the question in the field, and I could read that to Alex. So if you are online and not on the phone, you could go ahead and type in your question. And let's see if anybody raises their hand. Okay, let's see if anybody is online. Okay, we have a hand, and it's a web caller. Your name is Sharon, and your line is open.
Okay, my question is, if we're doing several trilogies in a row, do you have to repeat the same prayer over and over and over again?
No, you don't. You could just say one prayer, and then, you know, at the end of the next one, start the next one, then start the next one. Oh, but some people, like I pray the whole time, not saying you should do that. I want to do that. That's what feels good to me. do what feels best to you. But no, you certainly don't have to do that every time. And that can start to have sort of an artificial feeling, you know. Okay, yeah. I'm starting another one. I got to say a prayer. No, we don't want that kind of thing.
Okay. That's what I needed to know. Thanks.
Ah, you're most welcome. Thank you.
All right. Any other callers have a question for Alex really quick? You can raise your hand by pressing star 2. Star 2 is going to raise your hand. And, okay, we have another caller from Kansas City. Your number ends in 1776. 1776, your line's open.
Okay, yeah. So in the heat of the cocoon, I had an experience today in traffic. I'm sure not too many people get frustrated in traffic.
That's one of the biggest ones.
Yeah, so just wondering in that time period, like I'm full aware that, you know, it's ridiculous that I would feel this way, but the feelings are there, and wondering, it seems like it comes in two parts. One, the physical body is in pain, and then the other, the mind is like, oh, here we go again. Is this ever going to end? So just wondering what a good way to deal with that is.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'll give you my two cents on it. The first thing you need to do is say, this anger is not me.
Mm.
Okay?
Wow.
And it's not. It's not. That's another thing Paul said in that same manuscript that I quoted earlier in the teaching. He said, when this happens, that I do what I don't want to do and don't do what I do want to do, it's not me doing it. It's in me, but it's not me. It's in me the way a splinter would be in you.
Mm.
Okay? You would never say, I am this splinter. You would say, I have a splinter in me. So that's the first thing is remind yourself, this is not me. This is a human hard drive virus that is in my programming, okay? And then I would say, okay, when I get home, let me pray about it, meditate on it, and fix this. So, okay, I'm in traffic. What do I feel? I feel anger, irritation, whatever that is. What am I thinking? And almost no matter what you're thinking, like this guy's an idiot or whatever, no matter what you're thinking, it's guaranteed it's going to be a lie. Okay? So whatever that is, these stupid stoplight controller people or the dumb construction or the idiot driver or whatever it is, okay, is call a spade a spade. Okay, that thought is a lie. Now, they may not be the best streetlight controllers. They may not be the best driver, but that's not why you're angry. Okay? So then when you get home, okay, when have I been in another situation where I had those same feelings and a similar, doesn't have to be exactly the same, thought, like somebody was an idiot or something, or somebody was stupid in a way that caused me inconvenience and problem, and I felt anger about it, not about traffic, about anything. And usually it's something early in life involving some other people, and very often it's a popsicle memory where the reason it got encoded that way is because you were in delta theta brainwave state in 5 years old. So it doesn't even make logical sense, but yet as an adult now, you're living by it with that, like a puppet on a string. So I would work on all those memories you can find. You can work on them all at the same time with Trilogy because Trilogy is so powerful. You don't have to do them one at a time. And then I would continue to remind yourself after you pull these splinters out, so to speak, that when you go out and you start to feel it, number one, this is not me, and it has nothing to do with traffic. So, and what it's really about, biologically, is your unconscious mind is lying to you and saying that this traffic could literally kill you dead physically. So remind yourself of that too. The way I'm reacting is as if this was going to kill me dead, and the police are going to call my wife and tell him your husband died because of the slow traffic or whatever. And when you think of it that way, it's absurd. And that absurdity a lot of times helps people to back down a little. Oh, I'm not that dumb. I'm not going to buy that. That's ridiculous. But you may have to clean up the human hard drive virus too. And for that, I'd use trilogy memory engineering, et cetera.
Very good question. That's so helpful.
I'm sorry?
Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
Very,
great question.
So helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome. And Johanna, I'm going to have to run.
Okay. We love you, Alex. Thank you.
I love you, and I love you, everybody. Thank you so much. Let us know if this is working for you, a shorter teaching. Couple questions. We love you. Thank you.
All right. So we're going to shift gears a little bit. For any of you who may want a custom trilogy or a custom healing code, you can raise your hand by pressing star 2 on your phone. That's going to raise your hand. Okay. So we have our first caller, and it's Sharon. Our web call. Let me unmute your line.
Am I unmuted?
All right. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I've gotten two in a row this past 2 weeks for an overlapping health issue. And so this morning, as I was thinking through what I need, because I'm still dealing with the health issue, I'm still dealing. And last week, by the way, was wonderful because when I told you what I told you, you hit the nail on the head as far as being concerned about what other people think, regardless of the outcome. That was perfect. So,
great. So
today, as I was thinking back through, there's a difference between, I wrote down this note, there's a difference between having the knowledge that directs me what to do with the next steps of my health and having the actual confidence to hold to that knowledge and those decisions without constantly ruminating and second guessing myself and my decision. And it's going to take time. It could take up to a year of checking and rechecking with different screening tools through the medical facilities. And so I don't want to be feeling like I feel right now for a year or more.
Okay.
And I just...
Okay. Okay, so let's test this. Can you say for me, what is it? Is it a fear that you are making the wrong choice, or a fear that it's more about fear of you not having the confidence or having the peace to move forward, not so much as what others think about you?
Well, it's still what others think about me, but we did that. I have a code I'm working on that I got last week on that one.
Okay.
It's still a fear of I still could be wrong, and having confidence in my own, how I've weighed in the balance all of the information and all the advice from all my practitioners, I still struggle with whether or not I'm right or wrong and going forward. And it, no matter which decision I make, like I said last week, I feel insecure about it and weak and like I could be a failure with it, and I'm discouraged. I'm waking up discouraged about it every morning.
Okay, let me ask you this. Has there been a time in your life when you went through the same struggle?
When I was thinking about that this morning, there's a pattern that's been in my life that has been since I was really young that is just a constant similar feeling of the whole, I make a decision and then I don't follow through and then I fail, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that one's really old. I can tell you what it is, and that if that helps.
Okay. Well, I mean, in that memory or that pattern that you're, what, the negative feeling is just,
failure.
Fear of failure.
That one's, that one's failure.
Okay. Okay, we're going to use that one. Can you say for me, I desire to be healthy?
I desire to be healthy.
I am ready to test truthfully.
I am ready to test truthfully.
This fear of failure.
This fear of failure.
Okay, very good. Now, did you want a trilogy again?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Okay, first minute. Acupoints and meridians. Start with the eyebrows. Tap all the way through to the side of the hand. Okay, and then you're going to go to the middle of the chest. The sore spots. The side of the eyes. Under the eyes. The chin. Little finger. Middle finger. Sore spots. And then the 9G.
Got it.
Okay, minute number two, healing code. First position. Both hands below the belly button.
Okay.
Second position. Left hand jaw, right hand Adam's apple.
Okay.
Third position, both hands, brainstem.
Okay.
Fourth position, left hand, high bridge, right hand below the belly button.
Got it.
Okay, minute number three. You're going to slide from the base all the way up and over without stopping three times.
Okay.
Go back to the solar plexus, pause. Well, you'll just start at the solar plexus. So lift your hands from the top of your spine and come to the solar plexus. You're going to pause there, then move up to the heart, slide up to the heart, and pause there.
Okay.
Slide up to the forehead and pause there. Slide back down to below the belly button. Pause there. And then slide the rest of the way up and over to the top of the spine. And that's it.
Okay. Thank you.
You are so welcome, Sharon. God bless.
Thank you.
All right. Our next caller is Ontario. Your number ends in 5920. 5920, and your line is open.
Hello, this is Lori calling.
Hi, Lori.
Hi.
What would you like to address?
Lately, like when Alex said that you can do a whole bunch of memories in one trilogy, I think I'd like a custom trilogy. And the memories that I'm getting are, like, the theme is betrayal, abandonment, rejection, and violation. So I don't know if that can be covered with one trilogy or not.
Yeah, we can do that. You have specific memories addressing these?
Yes, yes. It seems like I suffer from being victimized in a sense or violated, and it just keeps coming around every few years. Another person violates either my privacy or my person or something like that, and I've got memories throughout my life. Even when I was a baby, I was a few months old, I had a major surgery, so probably those memories, even though I'm not consciously aware of them. So I've got lots of memories.
Okay, let's just get you. What I would like to suggest we do with this one, Lori, is take it through all 12 categories.
Okay.
Addressing any memory that you find that fits into that category with any of those negative feelings or emotions.
Okay.
Okay? All right, so do you want it, you wanted a trilogy, correct?
Yes, please, yes.
Okay. Can you say, I desire to be healthy?
I desire to be healthy.
I am ready to test truthfully.
I am ready to test truthfully.
The fears and limiting beliefs.
The fears and limiting beliefs.
Okay, very good. Okay, first minute.
Okay.
We're going to start with the eyebrows, tap all the way down to the side of the hand without stopping, to all of the points.
Okay.
Then you're going to go to sore spots.
Okay.
Middle of the chest.
Okay.
Chin.
Okay.
Side of the eyes. Alex calls it temples.
Okay, I prefer side of the eyes.
Okay, under eyes.
Okay.
Under the nose.
Okay.
Little finger.
Mm-hmm.
Side of the hand.
Okay.
And then the 9G.
Okay.
Okay, minute number two, healing code.
Okay.
First position, both hands below the belly button.
Okay.
Second position, left hand jaw, right hand bridge. That's regular healing code.
Mm-hmm.
Third position, both hands high bridge.
Okay.
Fourth position, both hands Adam's apple.
Okay.
Okay, minute number three. You're going to start at the base, slide all the way up and over two times.
Okay.
Then you're going to start at the base, back at the base.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to slide to the heart and pause.
Okay.
Slide to the throat. Pause.
Okay.
Slide back down to the solar plexus and pause.
Mm-hmm.
Then move slowly up from the solar plexus, pausing at each chakra all the way up, just slowly, and then move all the way up and over to the top of the spine, and that's it.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. God bless.
You too.
All right. Okay, so I think that's all the callers for today. So I want to thank you all for participating, and we'll meet you again next week. Bye-bye.